I'm Frances Callier.
And I'm Angela V. Shelton.
And we're Frangela.
You know what you need in your life? The Final Word Podcast.
Yes, you do.
That's right. It is the final word on all things political and pop cultural.
Where we make real news real funny.
Where we inspire you so you can hashtag resist.
Subscribe and get a new episode of the Final Word Podcast each week. It's the news we think you need to hear.
That's right. We think you need to hear it. Okay.
Yeah, it's what we say so.
That's right. And because all we do is give, every Thursday you can listen to our hysterical podcast, Idiot of the Week.
We round up the stupid because you know what? Somebody has to.
Okay. All we do is give.
I'm Greg Oliar. 4 years ago, I stopped writing novels to report on the crimes of Donald Trump and his associates. In 2018, I wrote a best-selling book about it, Dirty Rubles. In 2019, I launched Prevail, a bi-weekly column about Trump and Putin, spies and mobsters, and so many traitors! Trump may be gone, but the damage he wrought will take years to fully understand. Join me and a revolving crew of contributors and guests as we try to make sense of it all. This is Prevail.
Hey, Mueller junkies. Welcome to the MSW Book Club. Book club reviews were reserved for our premium subscribers, but now we're releasing them to the public. These episodes were recorded at the beginning of 2018 as we read and reviewed Russian Roulette by Michael Isikoff and David Korn. If you enjoy this episode, the next two are already up on their own feed. Just head to wherever you get your podcasts and search for MSW Book Club, or go to mswbookclub.com and subscribe now. We'll be releasing all the episodes there, plus the other book series, including A Higher Loyalty by James Comey, Fear by Bob Woodward, and The Threat by Andy McCabe. So think of it as a whole new podcast and subscribe now to the MSW Book Club wherever you get your podcasts. Or head to mswbookclub.com for more information. You'll be glad you did.
So to be clear, Mr. Trump has no financial relationships with any Russian oligarchs.
That's what he said. That's what I said. That's obviously what our position is.
I'm not aware of any of those activities. I have been called a surrogate at a time or two in that campaign, and I did not have communications with the Russians.
What do I have to get involved with Putin for? I have nothing to do with Putin. I've never spoken to him. I don't know anything about him other than he will respect me. Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing.
So, it is political. You're a communist.
No, Mr. Green. Communism is just a red herring. Like all members of the oldest profession, I'm a capitalist.
Hello. Welcome to Mueller, She Wrote. We're doing a mini-series on the book Russian Roulette by Michael Isikoff and David Korn. This is an amazing book. I highly recommend you pick it up. I'm AG. I'm your anonymous host because I know how to hatch act. That's my new thing. With me always is Jordan Coburn.
Hello.
And we have Jaleesa Johnson.
Hey, what's up?
And today we're going to discuss, we'll just get right into it. Let's just get right into the book and see where we go.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the introduction, even everything in this book is just so well written.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to read and the information is boundless and insane. So the introduction is a scene in the Oval Office where the Obama intelligence community is basically briefing Trump on Russian interference, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they all leave. And Comey briefs him on the P tape, right?
Awkward.
So it's all the guys like Brennan and Clapper and everybody. Mm-hmm. And they're like, look, the Russians interfered in our elections. They meddled. They helped you. And we're going to go now. And then Comey briefs him on the P tape. And Comey says, look, it's not been proven. You're not under investigation.
Mm-hmm.
But this could get out. And I wanted you to know about it.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a dick.
Right.
Now...
Not holding it over your head or anything.
Yeah, no judgment. No judgment.
All these.
I would totally be judged. Like,
I would try not to.
Even be holding the report like by a corner in between two fingers. Like, this is for you.
Ew.
So Comey leaves, and then Trump is pissed, and he's like, "This is bullshit!" Like he's mm-hmm. yelling. He is incensed. He is angry as f. And he got really paranoid. He started immediately thinking everyone was out to get him. Everyone was out to undermine his authority as president. This was like his first act of low self-esteem in office.
Oh yeah.
That's what they should be called.
acts of low self-esteem.
A memoir.
Airing of grievances and acts of low self-esteem. He thought Comey was out to get him. Like, Comey was trying to help him and be his homie, because Comey's a homie. Mm-hmm. But he thought he was out to... You guys are both out. But he was like, damn, he's like, bullshit, they're out to get me. They're all out to undermine my authority. I'm the winner. Like, I can just see him, like, stomping around in a diaper. Anyway, he repeated, like, he'd won fair and square, you know. I won this fair and square. The Russians didn't help me. No, sir. You know, just a big giant butthole. So that was kind of the introduction. It just sets up the scene for the whole book. Like,
butthole.
Like,
this is our president.
And what's interesting is that in that little scene with Obama's intelligence community briefing Trump on Russia interference, the Comey thing, the P tape, the Steele dossiers in there, Trump having no self-esteem, yelling bullshit, being paranoid, thinking Comey's out to get him, thinking everybody's out to undermine his authority, and you know, screaming that he won fair and square, refusing to say that Russia helped him at all. That is a really good kind of wrap up of everything, like a tiny little tip of an iceberg of just like this, just
the whole chaos,
sea of bubbling craziness underneath. And that's what the rest of the book is, and it will go right into chapter one. So chapter one focuses on Trump's trip to Moscow for the Miss Universe pageant in 2013, okay? This was planned by the Alagarovs, Amin and his dad. He's like this, he's a singer, he's from Azerbaijan, he's a shitty singer. And his dad is a terrible person. And Goldstone. Uh-huh. Do you remember Jesse's song? I don't think you were there that day.
I don't think I was. I wish I was.
I wish Jesse was here.
Yeah.
It was such a good episode. Goldstone. it just sounds like a Bond song. So this was all planned by the Alagarovs and Goldstone, okay? And Trump was in on it to get a tower built and meet rich dudes and be around rich Russians. And Goldstone and Alagarov were in it to get help for his dying career, pretty much. Because Lady Gaga was the musical act for the previous Miss Universe pageant.
Right, which is weird because Putin is so anti-gay and she's very pro...
She's super pro-gay.
LGBTQ, yeah.
So this pageant took place around the time when Russia was passing all of its anti-gay laws. So I think it was maybe Gaga got in, but Gaga got in before that. Before that, like the whole, I mean, he was always anti-gay, but he didn't start passing the anti-gay laws until right around the time of this pageant. A few weeks before the pageant, in a quote, in the southern city of Volgograd, a gay man's naked body was found in a courtyard. His skull was smashed and his genitals scarred by beer bottles.
Whoa.
The atmosphere was ugly and brutal, unquote.
Oh my God.
Almost crying right now.
Yeah.
Absolutely horrible to think about. And apparently, I mean,
that's when Pussy Riot became a thing, right? Yeah, like they were big around that time.
And that was just kind of the mood over there. Even during the pageant, the NBC logo, they made it in black and white so it didn't seem gay.
Jesus Christ. Whoa.
Isn't that crazy? And NBC went along with it.
And is that kind of still how it is right now? I mean, this was 2013, so it's not that long ago.
In Russia?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, he gets really, and we'll talk about this more as we do more of the in-depth book coverage, but he has like super, super Orthodox Christian monks that advise him essentially on everything. Mm-hmm. And he's been noted to say still disparaging things about Obama, referring to him as the N-word. Like,
wow.
He's not only, and I don't think people realize, he's not only a very corrupt politician, but he's also just very bigoted racially and
nationalist.
Yes. Yeah. He's like an overall, like, super, just because he trolls on the West, that doesn't mean he doesn't represent a lot of the really bad parts.
He's kind
of
like the devil. He's got a lot of devil-like qualities. Like, is there anything really nice about Putin that we know?
No, I mean, he wears nice suits.
Yeah.
I guess when you're like laundering so much money. Yeah.
Yeah, you probably get really nice suits.
Yeah, he's an evil guy. And
he's diabolical.
Yeah.
And it was the anti-gay sentiment was so bad that both of the hosts quit. Everybody was calling for the pageant to pull out of Moscow. Trump was losing his mind, like, but I want to make friends with Moscow. And he's like, no, what do I do? So the pageant was kind of saved when this openly gay reporter from NBC said he would do the hosting job after the other two hosts quit.
Wow.
And he's like, I'm openly gay. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go, yay. And we're going.
Yeah.
And they got Mel B from the Spice Girls, too.
Jeez. Aww. Which one was she?
Super, Scary Spice.
Super relevant. Oh. Relevant Spice is what she...
Relevant Spice.
What she So the day of the pageant, a Russian offered Schiller... That's Keith Schiller. That's a bodyguard for Trump. Five women. And Schiller dismissed the offer. Mm. Trump stayed at the Ritz-Carlton in the presidential suite. And that's where the Obamas stayed a couple years before.
Right.
Then after that, they dined at Nobu. I like Nobu.
Yeah.
Nobu was going to be a judge at the pageant, apparently. Nobu was one of the founders of Nobu, obviously. He's the chef. And then De Niro is the other.
Robert De
Niro. Who hates Trump.
Robert De Niro was a judge in the Miss Universe pageant?
No, Nobu was.
You talking to me?
Yeah. Sorry, I don't know why I heard. Okay.
So cute. You talking to me? Oh my God, you're adorable. And then, after Nobu, Trump went to the theater, where the pageant is held, to do what he does at every pageant. There's a clause in every one of his contracts that says he can override the judges and dismiss any contestant he doesn't like. There's a special room set up for him. His rider has white Tic Tacs, Diet Coke, Nutter Butters, Ooh. Rolled, not folded, hand towels, scent-free soap, and the room must be immaculate.
Mm.
In the room, Trump watches the tapes of the pageant contestants, particularly gown and swimsuit. And he reviews.
Particularly.
Okay.
And he reviews. Those are the best parts.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess.
Yeah,
I guess.
The highlights.
And,
yeah.
And he reviews the judges' decisions. And he would toss out finalists and replace them with women he preferred. Some pageant workers said if there were too many women of color, he would make changes, saying they were too ethnic or too dark-skinned.
Oh, Trump.
He loved Eastern European women.
Obviously.
Mm-hmm. He was also known to toss women out that rejected his advances.
Of course.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And if you're black and you reject him, whew, good luck.
Yeah.
He wouldn't come on to you if you were black.
That's true.
Let's not be outrageous.
So he'd just get angry at you for being attracted to you.
Yeah. Yeah, he'd be mad at you for finding you attractive.
Oh my God, so true.
That's
he'd
like Eamon Goeth in Schindler's List when he's mad at his Jewish maid for being attractive. So he beats the shit out of her. Yeah,
he hates himself.
I've never
seen Schindler's List. I know. I was looking in your eyes like
clear your
I
schedule.
Seen it.
Yeah, we have to have a night.
Yeah,
we'll do a minisode. Yeah, really so Schindler's
Where
List
we just
and
cry.
How it ties into the.
I know what it's about.
How it ties into the Russian investigation.
There you
know.
Go. Yeah.
Trump wanted to meet Putin so badly. He asked if he was coming to the pageant like every 5 minutes.
Please, please, please.
He was almost seemed desperate. He tweeted earlier that maybe Putin and I will be best friends.
I remember that, yeah.
He waited for Putin's assistant to call did he call? It was just really, really pathetic. And people remember that clearly, like, where's Putin? I want to meet Putin.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of that Carmen song, like, I've been waiting all day for you to call me baby. Don't get up, don't get up.
He would never divorce Putin, you know. Yeah, that's his true love.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think so. No, I'm sorry for singing. I apologize.
No.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I love it.
Baby.
Yeah. That's a good old 2010s reference.
Oh,
yeah.
Is that old? See, I think that's like brand new to me.
2010s as in what we're in currently.
Oh, recent. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I wanted to keep it, you know, current for
you guys. Oh, no, yeah, that was very current.
That.
Yeah.
It counterbalances that a Spice Girl was in the pageant, you know?
Yeah, it almost threw me off because it was so current.
You're like, who are you even? I don't even know you.
I'm like, Carmen, I'm thinking of like old, like Casablanca-like films.
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious. All right, you guys, on to chapter two.
Mm-hmm.
This is called Pissing Off Putin, which apparently is very easy to do. So this chapter opens with the poisoning death of Litvinenko. He's a former Russian spy. He was talked into tea with two former Russian intelligence officers in the UK. This was in November of 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Litvinenko, as he was dying, he said, quote, "You may succeed in silencing one man, but the howl of protest will ring in your ears, Mr. Putin, for the rest of your life. May God forgive you for what you've done, not only to me, but to beloved Russia," unquote.
It's crazy.
That's pretty heavy. A British doctor figured out it was polonium-210, and that's a substance pretty much wholly controlled by the Kremlin.
Mm-hmm.
Scotland Yard investigated, and they put a man named Christopher Steele on the case because he's the Russia expert from MI6. And so, as we all know, Christopher Steele would come in handy in many cases. Steele put it at about 80 to 90% that the poisoning was ordered by Putin or Patrochev. Mm. Patrochev is the head of the FSB at the time. He's not anymore, but he was back then. Steele's allegations were later corroborated by an official British government inquiry, so he was correct.
Yeah.
The CIA in the U.S. was given Steele's report, and they seemed like, your problem, not ours.
Jeez.
Not realizing we would soon be under attack by Putin ourselves, and Christopher Steele would be there to help us.
Yeah.
So, interesting. Now we'll shift gears in chapter two and talk about the Russian reset. This starts to talk about kind of what Obama's role was in diplomacy with Russia at the time.
Right.
McFaul was Obama's point man on the reset, and he was discouraged by Kasparov. That's the chess champion. He's a chess guy.
Wow.
he's a kind of a anti-Putin opposition guy over in Russia, friend of McFaul's, chess master. And everyone, including Kasparov, kind of warned McFaul, like, don't do this. You can't work with Putin. I know Medvedev is the president, but Putin still runs things.
Mm-hmm.
And he's old school. He's Soviet. He's Cold War. He's from the KGB.
Mm-hmm.
Kasparov said it would end badly and warned McFaul, don't do it. And it turns out he was right. But
yeah.
He didn't know at the time. Bush had tried the same thing and failed. But Obama wanted to go ahead with it. And Hillary Clinton was in charge of it. She's Secretary of State.
That's right.
So she ended up meeting with Lavrov. That's her counterpart in Russia in 2009. And she gave him a present. And this was so dumb. It was a wrapped green box. And he opened it up. And it was a reset button, right? It was just like the easy button from Office Depot or Staples or whatever. But it said reset on it in Russian. But it was incorrect. The translation was wrong. It actually said overcharged.
That's hilarious.
Womp, womp. Oh, like, what amazing. Who thought of that? That's yeah. That was
classic,
like,
Hillary trying to connect to the youth.
That's Grandma Hillary and her crafting, you know.
Yeah,
like, I'll make a button, you know.
She thinks she's so clever. No, she's very clever, but not in that moment.
Needlepoint would have been better, HRC.
It is, yeah. I also don't like the
That was
idea.
A joke, by the way, about people who used to tell Hillary she should get a hobby in needlepoint that really pissed me off.
Yeah, she should stab him in the face with that needle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was a dumb present.
It is. Working in metaphors is not very respectable.
Well, if she just wrote it in the right way, if it said reset in Russian, it would have been a cool joke, right?
Still pretty
lame.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I like buttons.
I got you both. You like buttons.
Yeah, and pop-up cards, too. Do you like those?
I love pop-up
cards. I like pop-up cards.
Yeah.
I just don't like
those
ones
are pretty fascinating.
Sing at you. I don't like
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Lavrov doesn't like women either. He doesn't think women are equals.
Oh.
But they hammered out an agreement.
They're not. We're better.
Ooh. Nice. Snip. Spicy.
Spice Girls. Mel B. Hosting the Miss Pat. Okay. They hammered out an agreement. Obama and Medvedev signed a deal that would allow the U.S. to fly over Russian airspace to deliver stuff to our troops in Afghanistan. They never let us do that before.
Nice.
Whee!
Thanks, Yay. Obama.
Yeah, what a deal. I hate to give Obama a hard time, but he was like really pushing hard to make the tiniest little deals and really trying to be over diplomatic with Russia. And it just would end up biting us in the ass.
He had a lot to prove.
He really did. He did try very hard. Lavrov kept asking Hillary to give a guy named Deripaska a visa. Like, give my buddy a visa.
Huh.
And apparently he asked, like, all the time. Like, more than Trump asked where Putin was at the pageant. Deripaska was an aluminum magnate at the time. And Hillary never acted on it.
Huh.
So, never happened. Let's see, Medvedev and Obama also signed an agreement to shrink nuclear arsenals, which is a pretty significant thing. So they did, I think, by 1,600 a piece. Like, we got rid of some old bombs.
Wow.
Shrunk our nuclear arsenals. But then, uh-oh, The U.S. intelligence community was monitoring 10 Russia sleeper agents, and the FBI nabbed them in 2010.
Whoa.
And we did a spy swap. That was a spy swap was arranged. That's what the show The Americans is based on.
Oh, cool. Snap.
By the way, I've never seen it, but I want to.
Spy for a spy kind of thing?
This particular spy swap in 2010.
Okay, wow.
And that, like, everyone, the FBI was like, shit, what do we do? We're trying to get good Russian relations with Medvedev, but we just found these sleeper agents who've been here for a decade and we need to roll them now because one of them's about to leave.
Whoa.
What do we do? And he's like, we can't afford to lose them. You got to roll them. So they did. They rolled them all up.
Damn.
And that kind of effed up the, you know, that little soured the Russian relations a little bit, but we ended up doing the spy swap.
Do what you gotta do,
Later that year, Bill Clinton would have a speaking engagement in Russia, even though his wife was Secretary of State. That's a little iffy.
Conflict of interest,
You think so? Yeah. One speech was for Renaissance Capital, which at the time was promoting a stock offer from Uranium One, a company that controlled about 20% of uranium production in the United States.
That's right.
Yep.
Rosatom, a Russian nuclear agency, was in a process of purchasing a controlling interest in Uranium One, pending approval from a U.S. government agency that Hillary sat on, along with eight other senior U.S. officials. So that's where the whole Uranium One thing comes from.
Mm-hmm.
There was criticism.
Yeah. Now, there was zero evidence that Hillary was involved in the deal at all. But Bill's trip to Moscow raised eyebrows about the power couple.
Yeah, and that's fair. I can see that.
They were just really unaware sometimes of their conflicts of interest. For example, the company chair of Uranium One donated $2.35 million to the Clinton Foundation.
Right.
Like,
could I point out that even though these are connections that I think are like valid, that there are so many more connections with the Trump administration? It's like, yes, Hillary, likely something shady, even if it was just like greed, something went down here.
Yeah.
And that's true. But also Trump has like 10 times as many occasions like with the Russians that, you know, are just as shady. So I agree. Uranium One, there's an argument there, but it's like your whole like, let's prioritize our issues here.
I'm not a big one for like whataboutism, which is kind of when you say like, I want to talk about this issue and you go, yeah, but what about these people?
Yeah, diverts from what you were actually talking
about. Exactly. Yeah.
So obviously the Trump administration has its issues. I don't think that makes this Uranium One deal okay.
Right. But she didn't win. Well, she's not the president. It's not more pressing of an issue.
It is an issue. It's not because nothing was done improperly, but the appearance was really bad.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It was not good appearance.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill giving the speech and then the chair giving them $2.35 million to their foundation.
It's suspicious. Yeah, it looks really, really shady.
And I think it should be discussed by itself and not compared to other a-holes that do worse.
If we can just separate the two, I think that'd be really good. Yeah.
Exactly. And that way we can argue on the merits of how it stands by itself, mutually exclusive from any other event.
Mm-hmm.
And just looking at this as itself, there's no evidence she was involved in the deal, but it just looked bad. It was just bad.
Yeah.
So the deal was on the up and up, but it looked bad. And the fact that it's uranium freaked everybody out.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. This isn't weapons-grade uranium, you guys. They can't make bombs with it.
Okay.
And so all these right-wingers are saying, you gave a bunch of uranium to Russia.
Like, it just sounds like bad. The optics and all that. Yeah.
You can't. This is U-235, U-238. It's for reactors. That's all it can be used for. It can't be weaponized.
Exactly.
It's already enriched. It's shut up. It's like
crazy.
It would be like if she helped broker a deal for oil or something.
Right.
It's not any.
I think Trump gets away with so much more.
Oh,
clearly.
Yeah.
And is it misogyny? Is it, you know, whatever? Russia. I just think it's sad. Like whatever she did, I think she should be investigated for any wrongdoings. But Trump clearly gets away. Like the status quo is a double standard.
Yeah. But I don't want to. Yeah,
you're right.
But I don't want.
We don't want to belittle the fact that she could have done some shady shit. You're right.
I don't want to get into what I don't want to go. What about this?
Oh, you're right. Yeah, because just separate them. Yeah.
When I try to talk about Trump, right wingers always say, "But what about Hillary?"
Yeah.
Can we compartmentalize them?
Just address them as separate cases.
Right. So when I talk about Hillary, I don't want people to go, "What about Trump?"
Exactly.
Right. It's kind of like let's let's meritly argue these things.
Right.
Yeah, that's the unfair assumption that people make, is the ones that are going to go against Trump are going to be doing it because they're also in the same camp that's like, Hillary's the best and never has done anything wrong.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's, I know me personally, and I know you as well, and I'm not actually so sure about you because we haven't talked about it, but, yeah. Well, I was going to say, I was a huge Bernie person that was very open to criticisms of the Clintons mm-hmm. and their management yeah. of funds
the
and whatever.
And all
but
that.
That's not what we're talking about.
You're right. You have a lot of opinions.
So it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter at all.
No. And if we were having a conversation about who would have been an outstanding president between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, the
right.
answer is obvious.
Obvious,
yeah.
yes. Yes.
She had a billion years of experience. She'd
of
been
course.
Secretary of State. She talked to Putin on many occasions. Even
Absolutely.
If you just talk about Russia, she visited 186 countries.
Right.
And she's an outstanding, brilliant woman.
Yeah.
And, you know.
It's okay to support someone and also criticize them.
Absolutely. You should. You should always
criticize Obama.
Question.
And I have an Obama tattoo on
yeah.
my
yeah.
body.
It's so real. Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah.
It mm-hmm. happens. So, yeah, I think we've got like an independent. We got a progressive and we got a Dem, you know, here
yeah.
on the panel. So it's just interesting that I just want to be able to talk about these incidents mutually exclusively from bringing up anyone else as a comparison, because what anyone else does doesn't make what we're talking about good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Good point.
It is what it is on its own merit. And we could judge it solely based on what's legal and what's not legal, what's morally corrupt and what's not morally corrupt.
Absolutely.
Yes, Trump sucks. I think we can all agree with that.
Definitely.
But yeah, so anyway, no evidence HRC was involved in the deal. She didn't have anything to do with it. There were five other agencies that approved this deal.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing weird or illegal about it. It was just weird that Bill was talking in Russia, and
yeah.
it was weird that the chair of this company donated to the Clinton Foundation.
Exactly.
To make it look like they were like trying to give her money to get her to make the deal
right.
go through.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't have anything to do with the deal.
Yeah.
And if she did, I'm sure they've investigated it or they are investigating it. Mueller mm-hmm. is probably looking into it because
right.
it probably arose in this. And if anybody's going to find out the truth, it's going to be him.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. He's just got bigger fish right
and
now.
And if
I
it
think.
Turns out that somebody did something wrong,
he's going to find out.
He'll find out.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
and
he's not Hillary's homeboy. You know, he's Justice's homeboy.
Hell yeah.
I love you. That's so funny. He's Justice's homeboy. But yeah, he's not limited to just looking into Trump. He can look at anything that arises. And that might be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I would feel like he is investigating this because it's part of this story. It would have come up in the Russia investigation.
Right.
And if he doesn't indict anybody in the Uranium One deal, that means
there's
nobody
nothing
did
there.
Anything criminally wrong.
Exactly.
The nabbing of the 10 Russian spies, though, by the FBI added to the U.S. helping topple Putin's dictator buddies around the Arab Spring was happening, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so we were helping topple all those assholes. And that really pissed Putin off. So
yeah.
that was pretty much the end of the reset. Putin would return to power the following year, boosted up by Boris Yeltsin. Medvedev
mm-hmm.
would be gone and we would kind of be back to square one. And that's kind of what led to where we are now.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's afraid he'd be next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's chapter two.
Very nice. I love this.
Great book.
Isn't
yeah.
it so good?
Yeah.
yeah.
Thank
and
you.
And we're kind of skimming a little along the top. You probably want to read this book. I mean,
mm-hmm.
there's so many just amazing details.
Lots of quotes. Yeah.
The stories are incredible that are in the, that are, some of the anecdotes are like, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, whoa.
It's a Maya song.
Another
from
hip,
like 2003
yeah.
years old.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I'm trying to get more current.
I like that. Yeah,
with my references,
we got to watch more. What would it be like, Nick at Night or something? Like,
shut up. Dude, when I was a kid, Nick at Night was like Mr. Ed and Father Knows Best and Leave
what
It to Beaver.
Is that? Oh,
yeah, I know.
Okay.
Leave It to Beaver.
We'll have a marathon one day. We'll all catch up on everything.
Jeez. Oh, yeah. on every pop culture thing. Ever.
Every single.
Over the last
I love this. 70s
years.
Might be nice.
I think the 80s are probably better.
Okay, VH1s. I love
I
the
love
80s.
I love those CNN
we'll
docs. The,
yeah.
The
oh, they are good.
CNN
the decades
ones?
Docs.
Yeah.
Those are good. They're really informative.
Yeah.
Usually CNN's a little weird, but those are good.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like the 30 for 30 on ESPN are so good.
Yeah,
ooh.
So good.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll
nice.
Do a sports cast later.
Yeah. There's this one on like the Chilean corruption when they were filling the sands of the soccer stadiums with political prisoners.
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Freaking
yeah.
insane.
Yeah.
History, humanity.
Yeah.
It's insane. Mm. Yeah.
They never cease to. No one's ever going to stop being a horrible person.
Right.
It's so shitty.
But for every horrible person, there's probably a Mueller.
Well, what sucks is that I. Like, don't know any of these horrible people, but
you're right.
But they're somehow everywhere.
Yeah, yes. Well, we're in a bubble, I think.
I guess so.
California.
A bubble of just normal people living their lives.
I run into stupid people a lot.
Up. Oh, okay.
I do.
I try to avoid them. I swerve. Yeah. I just dodge them.
Like, I guess if they had the resources, that's the only thing that separates them maybe from these people that exactly. we're talking about.
Maybe. All right, we're going to move on to chapter 3. Are we here because Clinton texted us is the name of the chapter. So, Putin won the election, but he totally cheated. They were stuffing ballot boxes. People got videos of it. Opponents were jailed. Hillary, I'll just call her HRC, questioned the legitimacy of Putin, okay?
Right.
Tens of thousands of protesters took to the streets in Russia, and thus began the grudge Putin would have against Hillary, pretty much up until for the rest of her life. It may be why she's never won the presidency.
Exactly.
She couldn't beat Obama in 08. I'm going to give her that. But it's probably why she's not president today.
Yeah. What if we found out that Putin helped Obama? Would that change everything?
No, actually. But the Chinese did hack into the Obama-McCain campaign.
Okay.
But they didn't do anything. They didn't weaponize
it. They just kind of like watched
it. They just wanted to see if they could do it.
Got it.
Just like a ha-ha, we did it.
Yeah.
And we were supposed to go, ooh, China, you scare me.
Ooh, China.
During our 2012 elections, Romney would say that Russia was the number one foreign policy issue of our time. Mm-hmm. And Obama would mock him for saying it.
Right?
He was like, you should have. It's Al-Qaeda, you dummy.
I mean, they're both pretty.
And he won that exchange because he was like, what is this? The 60s, old man? Wake up.
Right.
Come on, kids. It's Al-Qaeda.
That's what we thought. Yeah, we thought Russia was over.
Yeah, Romney was right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's because he had good old Joseph Smith whispering in his ear. Yeah, just telling him all the, truths.
I still got to see
Book of Mormon.
Yeah, I still have to see
it's
that.
It's so good.
I need to see that, and I need to see Hamilton. But
same. I've never seen Hamilton.
I don't have $900 spare dollars.
Right?
Fair enough.
So expensive.
Yeah.
Maybe we need a GoFundMe or something.
Ooh, just for Hamilton.
Send us to Hamilton.
Yeah.
Just email. Just Venmo us. It's fine.
No direct relation to the podcast. Just
just because you're nice, you know. Everybody, just give the girls a vacation.
Nice.
All right, so shortly thereafter, the Magnitsky Act was passed. McFaul and Obama were wary of it because it could strain Russian relations. Like, Obama was like, I don't know if I want to sign the Magnitsky Act. The fucking Magnitsky Act that passed 98-2.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think the only person who voted against it was Bernie Sanders. Because he said it wasn't harsh enough.
I was
going to
say it wasn't enough.
Yeah, that's all. That's how Bernie Sanders always votes no, because it's not enough. It doesn't go far enough.
I love that man.
He's hilarious. So the Magnitsky Act was passed. McFaul and Obama were like, I don't know if I want that. And then McFaul later admitted he was wrong, and we needed the Magnitsky Act.
Yeah.
In response, Russia barred the U.S. from adopting Russian children, and Putin began harassing our diplomats and employees at the Russian embassy. He'd have them followed. He'd have them tailed. One of them had his dog poisoned.
Wow.
One found his bird dead in his house. They would smear shit all over the inside of their apartments.
Jesus.
McFaul was framed because they basically mobbed him. And then when he lashed out, the Russians got it on video and blasted it out on Russian media.
No way.
Going, look at this terrible, evil American.
Oh my God.
McFaul asked Obama several times to protect them at the embassy, but he didn't do anything. He told Kerry, the new Secretary of State, that Hillary was right and they were wrong and the reset was a bad idea.
Oh.
And we need to stop.
Yeah.
It's not going to work, you know?
Yeah.
And in 2013, the head of the GRU, Gerasimov, he was the head of the GRU, he put out a Russian memo saying, this is our new style of warfare. It's cyber warfare. And they had gotten really good at it over the years, and this was their new arsenal.
Yeah.
And he put out this memo that's saying, this is how we do war now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not nuclear bombs anymore. It's this.
Yeah, we didn't want to believe it because we spent so much time investing in the nuclear war that we thought that that would be the next thing. And now we're like, oh, this is already 9/11. We're already attacked.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, guys, time for chapter 4. This is called You Don't Know Me, But I'm Working for a Troll Farm. It just reminds me of that song, Working on... Anyway, Coal Mine, is that what it is? That's a really old song. That's like Beyond Me, even.
Yeah. I was going Tina Turner. I thought that's what...
Oh, Rolling on the River?
Job
in the city. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, stupid Ike.
Working for a Russian fascist every night and day.
We need to do this parody.
I don't know if we should at all. But But Jordan, you got some really good info in chapter four, so I'd love it if you went over it for us.
Yeah, this is a really great chapter. I really enjoyed reading this. It opens up talking about the scene of Vladimir Putin sitting there at the Miss Universe, the Sochi Winter Olympics, February 23rd, 2014. Which, for those of you that are history buffs,
with a pouty face.
Yes, mm-hmm. With a pouty face. He was poutied face because I would imagine our listeners are vaguely familiar with Ukraine and Crimea and that whole situation, essentially. Mm-hmm. Trump, or sorry, misspoke there. Putin was hoping that the pro-Russia forces were going to take Ukraine. And the day before this day that he was sitting all pouty-faced, that is not what happened. Yanukovych abruptly fled Kiev on February 22nd, and then the opposition took over. Mm-hmm. So Putin saw this, essentially, as the United States mounting a coup to overthrow his ally and impose an anti-Putin government on Russia's border. And now everyone was looking at him on this date thinking, how is he going to respond? And this chapter more or less goes through him responding in the form of international cyber warfare on not only the United States, but multiple countries. Yes.
The EU, NATO.
He wants to break them all up.
Yeah, the Western world, basically.
Because Russia's pretty big, right? Like on a map,
it's fucking huge.
Yeah, it's weird that he's not in power.
They have like a Canada inside of themselves,
but they have like half as many people as we do.
True, but it used to be
because it's cold and shitty there.
So yeah, cold and desolate.
Right?
It's completely desolate.
Yeah,
but that's good for prisoning.
That's yes, quite.
Yeah, they were just. I'm surprised. Canadians are so nice. That's the only reason they're not operating gulags.
Right.
They have total gulag terrain.
Oh, they must. Yeah,
they are very nice.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Very nice to the Canadians, eh? But so there's a really interesting. It's not interesting. It's pretty much the position that Putin has taken over the decades. But Putin is basically just tired of the West humiliating him, quote unquote. So he keeps seeing all of our actions as things that we're doing. He says spreading democracy is the equivalent of shitting on Russia and mm-hmm. specifically Putin.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah. Right? And
shitting on somebody named Putin is hilarious to me.
Oh,
your name
Putin.
Is Putin. Oh. It's like that baseball player named Pujols.
Yeah.
Like every time somebody
I've never
said
heard of that.
Pujols, I was just like, nah.
Yeah.
Pujols. I had to laugh at it. Or yeah. When I was in the Navy and I was on duty, I just thought it was funny. I'm 12 in my head.
He's
anyway,
a shithole president.
Yeah, he really is.
Continue with the Putin.
Yes,
joke.
Putin. He's probably a poutine. I wonder if he's
ooh,
he's popular in
Canadian,
Canada.
Eh?
No,
Putin,
don't even.
Poutine.
Poutine's weird.
It is. You don't like poutine?
I don't.
Oh my god, huge!
Is it the gravy?
Mm. Gravy, cheese curds, fries.
It's the cheese curds.
Oh yeah,
oh,
they're
no.
squeaky.
Yeah, if it was just cheese.
Yeah,
okay.
Melted. Yeah,
take these curds away.
Take these curds.
Oh my god, that's terrible. Please continue with the Russia book.
Yes, yeah, unrelated to diplomacy in the Middle East. So we got basically the situation now that is set up, and this is the origin story of Putin's wrath against mm-hmm. the West in recent years. Obviously, the Cold War was the foundation of that, but. But basically, at this point, we just get some good insights in this chapter on where exactly Putin's head was at and how the intelligence exchange between Russia and the U.S. transpired. So there was a saint-like official in Moscow, in the Moscow Assembly, that was reporting back to an American official and essentially giving them insider info into all of these plans that Russia had to try to destabilize the West.
Right.
And those correspondences are laid out in this book over and over again, and that alone is a great reason to get this book. It is mm-hmm. so interesting.
It really is.
Yeah, it is. It is amazing. So, for example, they passed along the information that Putin's regime was crafting plans to expand its influence throughout Ukraine. That report came directly from this source. That's one of the things that this source was reporting. So huge things. This person was an invaluable source.
Oh, you're talking about
States.
The source inside the Kremlin,
yeah.
Right? That doesn't work. That's not a
yeah.
A,
they're not
KGB,
contracted
GRU
or any
guy.
Yeah,
he's just in there and he's just telling us everything. And
yes,
they sent those emails back. Right? They sent the emails back and they were like, "That's cool."
Yeah, yeah. There he's giving
they talk about just how invaluable all of his information was. And
yeah, but they didn't treat it as such at the time.
No.
They were just like, thanks, because they were interested in something, but not the other thing, right? They were like...
I think basically they were more... They were more interested in the details that related to Ukraine specifically.
It was the Crimea annexation.
Exactly.
Yeah, and they were like, thanks for this. This is great. But yes. They weren't listening to the cyber warfare part of it at all. Right,
exactly.
They kind of ignored it. There are several points in this book so far that I'm only about halfway through it, but where we miss a warning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The 2013 thing put out by the GRU guy where he said, we're going to do this.
Right.
We ignored it. This thing where we sent all these emails back from this source inside the Kremlin saying, this is what we're doing with cyber war. And we're like, eh.
The Podesta email.
We keep doing it over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We just kept ignoring this. And now it's
blowing
up. Because
we didn't want to believe it. No one wanted to believe it.
Well, we didn't think it was that. We didn't think they were going to be that good at it. I don't know.
Right.
I think it's also just taking the next step further in the logical reasoning of, okay, let's say that we do not condone how he handled Crimea. And essentially, that was the first act of cross-European land seizure since World War II.
Right.
So that's huge that he did that. Obviously, that's very troubling. Obviously, the U.S. is going to have a sanctioned response to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to have a counter response.
Mm-hmm.
But that counter response is looking like it's turning out to be this very coordinated international cyber warfare attack that we just didn't want to pay mind to at the time. We were more concerned about the
building
information
bombs
that...
and crime.
Right. And then like we talked about, too... I don't remember if it was in another minisode or the main episode, but basically just Obama had bigger fish to fry during that time. He wanted to keep those ties with Russia so they could get to some sort of, he could have an ally in Syria, Iran, and other projects that were more important to him, I guess, than trying to get to the root of this cyber warfare. It's literally warfare as we go on to find out. So
we needed Russia to fight ISIS, we needed them to help with Syria, and we needed them to help restrain Iran's nuclear program.
Yes.
And we were getting that help and it was going pretty good, and Obama didn't want to lose that. We needed them as an ally for that.
Yep.
I wouldn't say an ally. That's kind of going a little bit too far, but
right,
a support in the region for those things. And he wasn't going to give that up.
Yep.
He felt it was more important.
Mm-hmm. And then fun fact. So in early 2014, as the Ukrainian crisis was in the heat of it, Trump, Ivanka, and Donald Trump Jr. had been enthusiastically pursuing their deal with the Agalarovs to develop a Trump Tower in Moscow.
Mm-hmm.
So this is when we start to see their efforts come and transpire during all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump wouldn't say anything bad about Moscow.
Yeah.
So he blamed Obama.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Everything.
Yeah, Obama's sanctions were making it impossible for him to get his tower.
Yes.
So he was blaming Obama for everything. Obama, he just, like, over and over again saying Putin was a great leader, better than Obama, all that shit. You remember that shit?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And so the deal essentially winds up dying, the first one. And then a year after Putin's invasion in Ukraine, Truton and Eamon and Goldstone were guests to his office in Trump Tower.
Yep.
And so then we just fast forward to the actual, what the title of this chapter suggests. You don't know me, but I'm working on a troll farm.
This
that is
so
a quote.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm. That is a quote from a woman named Lyudmila Savchuk.
Wow.
I don't know if that's correct. I would bet money.
Her name is pronounced Sobchak.
Sobchak?
Sobchak.
Sobchak.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. The audiobook comes in handy for pronouncing names. I learned how to pronounce Reba Lovelev's name.
Nice.
The guy who bought Russian RoboCop.
Yeah, the one that we're like, Lovelev.
Riboflavin.
Yeah, I like that.
Reba Lovelev.
Nice. That is very
Reba
helpful.
Reba Lovelev. Yeah, so
they're
I learned a lot.
Names.
I learned a lot.
They really are.
Oh, yeah, it's a beautiful language.
Yeah, it really is. It's a shame that such
crappy
horrible
people are running the country. Yeah.
The people are probably great. It's just the dude at the top.
Yeah, that's very specifically
much
referring
like the
to
United
Trump.
States.
Right.
Yeah. The weird thing about Russia, too, is that, like, in their parliament, they have a group of people that are considered to be moderates, not even people that are anti-Putin, because you can't have those people. He won't allow
He'll
it.
Kill
and
him.
Then you have,
He'll arrest you.
Yeah, and then you have the people that are just completely, no, fuck the West, fuck the U.S., this is all a lie.
Wow.
We don't have... Yeah, ugh. Okay, anyway, so this woman, Sobchuk, you said?
Sobchak.
Yeah. Sobchuk.
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 So she reached out to a local. She's working in a Russian troll farm in Russia.
Mm-hmm. In St. Petersburg, yeah. Mm-hmm.
In St. Petersburg. And she starts thinking, you know, the assignments that I have to do are starting to become increasingly fishy and sinister. So she reaches out to a local investigative journalist.
Nentsov.
Yes.
And the best part about
Wait, no. I have Andrei Shuzhnikov.
Oh, different guy.
Yeah.
Interesting. What was really funny about this audiobook is that they use accents.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who's reading it, he'll be like, around this time, a woman working in St. Petersburg called a Russian journalist and said, "You don't know me, but I work in a troll farm. I hate this place. I want to destroy this place."
Oh. Yes.
And they use accents.
I like that.
It's the same guy reading it, but he like does these accents.
In a lady Russian voice. Yes.
Impressive.
He does ladies and men and everything. Like, do not talk to me. It's so
They got the right guy for the job.
They did. It's great.
That is really fun. Yeah, well,
she made that call though, man.
She does. So, and she sort of starts describing what the conditions of this work is. So she says that they're all in there. There's hundreds of Russians that are cooped up working. They have to do 12-hour shifts, and they were measured. Their work was measured by how many posts they filed, how many comments, likes, and shares their items received. So these are essentially internet marketers that are incentive based. Just trying to get as much influence and reach as they can.
Hundreds of Russians.
Yes.
Hundreds of them.
Literally working.
And I ran into them yesterday. I ran into some of them yesterday on Twitter.
Oh.
I had not had any interactions with any Russian trolls before. And I had some.
They were out after the McCabe
when
news.
I tweeted that McCabe was a hero.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The hashtag McCabe or hashtag McCabe fired. They were all over it because mm-hmm. I never gotten these kind of responses before. They mm-hmm. all have around 100 followers. They all usually have some bright, happy American photo.
Yeah.
Or a dog.
Yes. Huh. An American flag emoji.
American flag in their name is a hint. If they use emojis and memes and GIFs a lot,
mm-hmm.
that's them.
Because they don't speak English well.
They don't. And you can tell when they try. And I just got so many like, "You don't know. You talk stupid. Ha wow. ha ha." And I'm like, "Oh my God, you mm-hmm. are a Russian troll. Get out of there." I feel so bad.
They gotta make that money. They're making their 9 to 5.
Just defect. Come out and be a ballerina or whatever you do.
Follow your dreams. You didn't dream of being a Russian troll when you grew up. Come on, man.
And it's kind of scary when I think that these are like people in cold gray buildings in St. Petersburg, like trying to trick me. And if they don't get me to like or talk back to them, they don't get paid or they get in trouble.
Yeah.
Worse. I mean, worse things could happen.
It's a factory. Yeah.
Talk about what happens to the journalist.
Yeah. So let me jump to that.
Because she met with him. She gave him a bunch of her videos and notes and told him everything, right? Like they had coffee or whatever.
Yeah. So she says on top of the fact that the messages she was being told to, you know, essentially get out there were those of promoting Putin, ridiculing Russian opposition leaders, deriding the EU, insulting Barack Obama with racist imagery, by the way.
Right, like the monkey pictures of Barack and Michelle came from bananas. A Russian troll farm.
Yeah. Monkeys are cute. That's
the
so
banana
messed up.
Ones.
So just an example of one of the things before we get to the gunned down person. One of the projects that she said she had to work on, for example, was creating this character called Cantadora, who was who was a fortune teller who offered readers advice on ghosts, recipes, personal relationships, and feng shui. And
that's right. She worked in the special projects division.
And that's what they would do in the special
and
projects.
You know what this reminded me of all these trolls, like getting pictures of Americans and pretending to be Americans and coming on and telling us that we needed that. This is catfish.
Yeah.
Oh,
We're catfished like, on a national as a country.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's real embarrassing.
Need to, yeah.
Can we be on the show, Catfish?
Mm-hmm.
And like where we have to like awkwardly meet the Russians?
I was just going to say, you need to pitch this sketch to SNL before they do. They did The Bachelor.
Yeah. They're just wearing like flip-flops with socks.
Dude, SNL, Catfish with the Russians.
We'll write the script. We'll email it to Melissa Villasenor.
Yeah.
I did shows with her.
I believe she was really funny.
Cool. So anyway, yeah, she was Special Projects fortune teller.
Yeah, so with this like fortune teller, for example, then, you know, they'd establish this base of people that just like this character, and then the character would push out things saying that it's divine law that Putin is going to rule and start
like
pushing.
Yeah, she would fortune tell that Putin is going to be amazing and he's incredible. And but like in between, mixed in with posts, like you said, of like recipes and like she'd be like, here's how I make my chicken Kiev. And I see Putin is the magical man of the universe.
Yes.
It's insane. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. My love for Putin is the secret ingredient. But
next on Iron Chef.
Yeah. But so all of that shit happens. She's Iron going through all of this
chef.
Stuff.
I'm sorry.
That is good. That is very good.
Dad jokes.
Iron Curtain Chef.
Cooking with Putin. No, it's a near rhyme. It's not quite.
It is.
Cooking with Putin. No, I like Iron Curtain Chef.
That's good. That's good.
I like it too. So the final straw, though, for this woman who is tipping off U.S. intelligence about these Russian troll farms, she says the final straw came after opposition leader Boris Nemtsov. Nemtsov was gunned down and murdered crossing a bridge one block from the Kremlin.
Yeah, this is the guy I was talking about, Nemtsov.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pronounced Nemtsov.
Nemtsov.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he was gunned down a block away from the Kremlin.
He was. And the suspicion was widespread among Russian dissidents and in the West that Putin was behind this assassination, obviously. And she says that assassination,
she had to lie about it,
was the moment she realized, yeah, that they could kill anyone and they could kill all of us.
Yeah, that's so terrifying.
Yeah.
That's why whenever I get a troll now, I'm like, get out of there, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to shut it down quickly.
Yeah, this week was like intense for me, sort of, because up until this point, it's just been like, yeah, we've been reporting on this. But now it continues to be more and more sinister.
Yeah.
And it's scary.
It's fucking scary.
It's really scary.
We do have a horrible, awful president, but we don't have Putin.
We do not.
He's trying to be Putin.
Yeah.
He wants to be president for life.
We have a judicial and we have a Congress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
for
now.
Very scary.
Come on, Mueller.
Yeah, and they use those tactics during the Cold War, too, like we talked about a little bit. This is not like it's new. It's just more a coordinated effort that they're putting more money into.
Yeah, desinformatia. It's an old Cold War tactic called active measures, as a matter of fact. And Russia has it's been reborn.
A makeover.
On the internet. But they use it a lot, like we talked about in the main episode. They would have to call journalists. And they would spread lies like CIA assassinated JFK. Mm-hmm. They assassinated Martin Luther King. Right. They engineered Jonestown Massacre, which reminds me of my favorite dad joke. Why are there no jokes about the Jonestown Massacre?
Why?
Because the punchlines are too long.
Wait, what?
Well, they had to wait in line to drink Kool-Aid to die.
Oh, that's right. I forgot what that massacre was. Yeah.
That was like the 900 people.
The punchlines are too long.
Oh, my God. Punch.
I love it.
That's why that's where the phrase drink the Kool-Aid comes from.
Yeah.
So the American biological warfare specialist started AIDS. That a congressman, they talked to us in the 70s that this congressman was gay and a member of a gay club. They were like mean girls starting all sorts of shit about the CIA. So imagine that old tactic, but and you have to like go to journalists and reach out and try to do it that way, but now they have the internet, so all of your conspiracy theories against the government probably come from them. So it's just insane. And by 2014 the Russians had penetrated our State Department and even the White House.
And basically that's amazing that she was talking to any informants from the U.S., because otherwise, who knows how long it would have taken for us to get a more detailed account of what was going on.
Seriously.
Fun fact, what they were doing in the Soviet era was the equivalent of this, what you were talking about, saying that the CIA assassinated John F. Kennedy. They called those active measures, quote unquote.
Yeah, that's what, I was just saying that. That's the active measures.
Bad.
Yeah.
I'm like, I got this circled. I'm ready.
I'm going to tell everyone what it's called.
Totally
blew your punchline.
Oh, no, it's okay. It was just a way to wrap up everything. But really quick, going back to what you were saying about the assassinations, it's not so much to, if you want to indulge in conspiracy theories, you don't have to stop. It's not like it was only Russia, but they were definitely saying that that's what it was.
Yeah.
So if you have a good time around the fire and family memories talking about the conspiracy theories of the CIA killing John F. Kennedy.
No, you know what?
You don't have to let Russia ruin it, I guess.
No, you know what? Lone gunman.
Yeah.
It was one dude. I saw it on Mythbusters. I'm convinced. They convinced me.
I believe you.
I'm convinced as well. It's just easier
JFK. Well, I think about MLK. That's the one that I really, like, do you think...
Yeah, but I don't think the CIA had anything to do with that, no.
No.
I don't think so either. Mm-mm. I can see why people have criticisms that MLK was more of a sympathizer to the status quo.
Oh.
But I don't think they killed him. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would have been a pretty interesting target.
You guys, people who think that the government... like control these crazy conspiracy theories. I promise you, I work there. We can't get a filing system together.
It's Wait, not so no Illuminati.
We just got Windows 7. So
hey, it's good,
like,
for you guys.
When I first walked into my office 2 years ago, there was a Windows 95 for Dummies book on my desk and a Microsoft word processor. So let's not pretend that we are sophisticated enough to even talk to each other, talk to agencies. We had to develop an agency just so the agencies could talk to each other.
Good point.
The
Very
bureaucracy
point.
Is ridiculous. It's huge. I am not trying to say that the FBI, the CIA, and everybody, they're all a bunch of stupid people. What I'm trying to say is that we're too busy dealing with attacks and thwarting attacks than to go out and do these weird things and to make your life interesting.
Exactly,
We don't have aliens. There's no aliens. I'm sorry.
I was raised on aliens.
I know. Were you really?
Yeah, my parents love aliens.
I love aliens too. My dad actually worked in the Air Force and he said, they'll be here one day. Don't be afraid.
If they could come now and selectively take people, that would be great.
A better place? Or
they
to
can
death?
Take me.
I was thinking more of the bad people they can just take away.
I don't want to go if Trump's going.
If it's awesome, I want to go.
You're not a bad
if
person.
If it's bad, I want to stay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I also, sorry, this one last thing that I thought was really crazy didn't know that I learned in this chapter was there was an attack that happened on the White House networks that started in the State Department and then spread and spread and spread until it got into declassified networks in the White House. But White House networks, nonetheless, they were able to hack into Obama's personal schedule, for example.
Whoa.
So Russia did a cyber attack that was so powerful that they had to shut down. They literally had to shut down the whole White House network and start from scratch in some ways. And so people that were White House members, they weren't able to access the same shared drives anymore that they used to be able to. For example, they lost information, they lost emails. They had to literally just
rebuild everything.
Because Russia literally shut them down in that way.
Wow.
And then Obama decided to not retaliate against that specific act because he said, well, they got too much going on. Yeah, we have other priorities that we want to, you know, prioritize our allyship with them. But also, they went for declassified servers and they didn't publicly release any of the information that they got. So
he let them off super easy.
Yeah, he let them off so easy.
There's another one that was an indication that we just kind of let go. So anyway, God, thank you. That's chapter 4. And I love that chapter.
Yeah, it was
that
really
woman
good.
Just makes my heart like melt for these Russian trolls.
Yeah, seriously. Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks for listening. I've enjoyed this book so much. I really recommend you guys pick it up. I'm loving reading it. So anyway, this is Mueller, She Wrote. Join us next time for the next installment of Russian Roulette, the book report, I guess. I want to make a diorama.
I like it, yeah.
That would be the scariest diorama ever.
Yeah,
there'd be poisonings and all sorts of, tea party, like little Russian tea party.
Oh, tea party.
We could have Rick Perry dancing. Ooh. I don't even know.
Very nice.
I don't know.
It's creepy dolls.
Yeah, definitely scary. Anyway, I'm AG.
I'm Jaleesa Johnson.
I'm Jordan Coburn.
And this is Mueller, She Wrote.
So, Renato, do you still have your own podcast?
Yeah, it's complicated.
What's so complicated about a podcast?
That's the name of the podcast, remember?
Oh! Will you still be exploring topics that help us understand the week's news?
You bet. But we'll have a new name because we're going to be working together to explore complicated issues that are dominating the news.
Working together?
Yeah, you're hosting it with me, remember?
Oh, right. Wait. Does that mean our podcast is going to have a steam mop segment?
Let's not get carried away, but we'll discuss hot new legal topics. So check out our new episode coming soon to everywhere you get podcasts as well as YouTube.
Mueller, She Wrote is produced and engineered by AG, with editing and mixing by Jaleesa Johnson. Market consulting by Amanda Reeder at Unicorn Creative. Our digital media director and subscriber manager is Jordan Coburn. Fact-checking and research by AG, with support from Jaleesa Johnson and Jordan Coburn. Our web design and creative is by Joelle Reeder with Moxie Design Studios. And our website is MuellerSheWrote.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Dunn, host of What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn, the most wildly entertaining adult beverage-themed podcast in the history of the medium. That's right, the boozy best of the best, baby. And we have the cool celebrity promos to prove it. Check this out.
Hi, I'm Allison Janney, and you're here with me on What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn. And that's my sexy voice. Boom.
Boom is right, Academy Award winner Allison Janney. As you can see, celebrities just love this show. How cool is that?
Hey, this is Scottie Pippen, and you're listening to The Dan Dunn Show. And wait, hold on. The name of the show is what?
All right, sure. Scottie Pippen momentarily forgot the show's name, but there's a first time for everything.
Hey, everyone. This is Scoot McNairy. I'm here with Dan Dunn on What Are You Drinking? What's it called again?
Fine, twice. But famous people really do love this show.
Hi, this is Will Forte, and you're, for some reason, listening to What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn.
What do you mean, for some reason, Will Forte? What's going on?
Hi, this is Kurt Russell. Listen, I escaped from New York, but I couldn't get the hell out of Dan Dunn's happy hour. Please, send help.
Send help? Oh, come on, Kurt Russell. Can somebody out there please help me?
I'm Dita Von Teese, and you're listening to What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn.
Let me try one more time. Come on. Is that right?
What We're Drinking? That's amazing. It's amazing.
Right, it's
just...
Is it right?
Ah, that's better. So be like Dita Von Teese, friends, and listen to What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn, available wherever you get your podcasts.
MSW Media.
Hi, this is John Cryer, and I am hosting a new 7-part true crime podcast called Lawyers, Guns, and Money that'll challenge everything you think you know about U.S. covert operations and presidential misconduct. From Jack Bryan, the director of American PSYOP, comes the incredible true story of John Mattis, a newly sworn-in Miami public defender in the 1980s who has found himself completely in over his head.
I step off the plane, and there is a van with a couple guys with Uzis. And one of them in broken English said, "Welcome to Bogota, John."
Mattis's first felony defendant has been arrested for having a machine gun and tells Mattis a dangerous secret.
He was shipping arms into Central America on behalf of the CIA. As a first-time lawyer, I want to act like I know what I'm doing.
But with the help of a Colombian drug smuggler...
How much money the CIA raised by hitting up drug dealers?
A lot of money, millions of dollars.
An Alabama mercenary...
They were prepared to die to the last man. I saw this in them. I saw the fire in their eyes. And they made me their war chief.
And a newly elected senator, John Kerry.
We are looking at allegations of drug running, gun smuggling, conspiracy to commit murder and murder itself.
He'll fight to free his client.
The judge said, "Show me in a courtroom how we were at war."
Expose an illegal war being run by the White House.
I mean, I wanted him involved, but I didn't want to be on record as doing it.
And somehow stay alive in the process.
I just escaped a kidnapping by the CIA in Costa Rica.
This is Lawyers, Guns, and Money.
So you have a man in an Armani suit standing on the bow of a boat with a rocket launcher and says, "If I lose sight of you, I will launch. You will be vaporized."
Available everywhere starting October 29th, or get it ad-free and early starting October 22nd at lawyersgunsandmoney.supercast.com. There you'll find bonus episodes along with exclusive content. Subscribe now.